SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201 Sports Zone, 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, and who can guess and who can tell what I'm doing? Why I'm laughing? You'll see sometimes on social media. There's that. Those threads, what's your superpower? One thing that I sort of pride myself on is a sense of what time it is under any circumstance. Like if I wake up and in the middle of the night, and the only place to see the time is the little box, the little TV box that it's keeping the time, and so before I sit up. Because I'm further away from the TV than Tina, and so I have to have to sit up to look, and I have to squint because my eyes are bad, and I'll invariably I'm within 5 minutes either way of what time it is. I wake up and say it's about 2:45, and go look, it's 2:48. I took a late shower, and I'm leisurely getting dressed, and I look down, and it's. It's 8:57 or 8:57 it was. I was like, oh my God. So I bit of panic. I got dressed and I almost made it. And when I put the headset on, usually Casey's got the music playing. Those of you that, can hear the music sometimes on the stream, you might hear me say test once in a while, but when I put the headset on, there was nothing, and I'm like, "Oh my God!" The show started, and now it's dead air, and I was instantly panicked. So, and Casey's blissfully oblivious of what's going on the other end of the, on the other end of the cans. Well, good morning. Got to talk about the sale, of course, and it's hard to define what went on yesterday. We'll talk about it in a second. There, of course, was the draws, Aqueduct and Santa Anita ready for Saturday, and we'll look at that. Keeneland starts tomorrow, and as I suggested late yesterday, I said, how about a nice leisurely Marty McGee brought to you by Healthnetics? And now that he's healthy, so Marty's going to get an early visit in with Marty, and this way we're actually ahead of the Friday card as well. And since there was no Sunday to draw today, thought let's do our initial Keeneland previewing. And actually, I've looked more at Saturday than I have at Friday, but we'll get. Marty in here in about 10 minutes and start the coverage of what, based on the first couple of days and just based on tradition and the intense interest of owners to win at Keeneland. It's one of those special environments to win. Nice, start of the two-year-old season, always interesting, and we got two-year-old races tomorrow, and the first stallions that are going to be represented, as mentioned, Klimt in there, and American Freedom has one, right? American Freedom, yeah, American Freedom in the third, American Bound for Joe Sharp and Terry Hutto, and Mastery has got a potential first, part of an entry. We'll see with Jim Chapman that is double named Padron Parsenas. So we'll see. But anyway, lots to look forward to with the Keeneland kickoff, and Marty will get us going. Looking forward to that. And I might as well give a quick survey. We'll get a visit in from Dick Powell. Couldn't be with us last week, and we'll catch up with him, see what his thoughts were regarding both Hong Kong and Dubai. And speaking of Dubai, that speculation yesterday when those nine late Triple Crown nominees came out, Panadol does look like a somewhat likely participant now in Derby. Touch base with Darren Rogers, and Darren confirmed that Panadol for Shadwell seems to be the most likely, anyway, of the international possibilities. Let's put it in that framework. Rebel's Romance, not a serious consideration, it appears. New Treasure, either. And apparently none of the Japanese or Euro Road horses are indicating that they'll come for Derby. But Panadol, you can pencil. And so as a result, it does do a couple of interesting things, and it sort of raises the, not the cutoff, but it does, soften things up a little bit for a handful of horses that are going to end up in the 20s, probably in the point range. A horse like Obisos, for instance, is sitting right now on my list, the way I keep it, and I try to speculate. My list is, includes leans and indications, that horses may or may not participate. You don't know about a horse like Weyburn until after Saturday with Jimmy Jerkins. Weyburn could win the Wood, and they'll feel obligated maybe to go to, to go to Derby. not necessarily if Jimmy has anything to say about it, there's a horse you don't know. You sort of count him, but you also, I put him in italics. In other words, that I'm not convinced that, that he's a certainty for Derby, but right now I'm counting him. So, a horse like Obiso sitting with 25 points, if some of those other horses that might have had points and could opt in if they wanted, like a horse like Sainthood, here's 40 points. You got the indication from Todd Pletcher that they're, not, not fully thinking about coming. So in terms of that, proxy, as you heard from Mike Stidham the other day, not likely at all. So there's feels like I'm going to use Obisos, I think, as the magic line, 25, and we'll go from there. Obviously there's, a number of horses, and probably tomorrow we'll, as we do the Wood and Santa Anita Derby previewing, we'll talk about, that are, where they stand. Candyman Rocket running in the Wood, he's got 10 points. I mean, he's got to be third or better. If you know, Mr. Fletcher would love to be in Derby. Sitting on Go's got 10. Risk Taking's got 10. Brooklyn Strong, 10. Hush of a Storm, 10. Dream Shake, 10. Superstock next week, Arkansas, 9. Roman Centurion 9. So needs to be second or better Saturday. Then there's the, swinging from the heels, the Parnellis, for instance. That's got to be second or win to get in. That, quick snapshot, right, of the Derby Point picture. Then there's also horses like Rombauer could be third Saturday and should be good. It's got 14 points. And very quickly, even though we'll do it more formally later, let me quickly give you, since I went in this direction, I never know, let me quickly give you the Wood lineup. And here it is. Brooklyn Strong drew the rail for his seasonal debut, last seen in the Remsen, of course. And Danny Velasquez gave a big thumbs up, all ready to go. 6-1, the morning line's out. David Ergona. Crowded trade for Chad. Manny Franco, by the way, new on Brooklyn Strong. Crowded trade for Chad and Seth Carman. Eric Cancel, 4-1 from the two-hole. Bourbonic, Pletcher, Calumet. You heard from Todd yesterday. Was that yesterday? I can't remember. No, it was Tuesday. And Kendrick Carmouche back aboard. And Kendrick was with him in January when he won an allowance as well. 30-1, Chad and Seth Klarman's risk-taking, 5-2. Out of the Withers win, and was always planning to skip Gotham to get to the Wood. 5-2 from the four hole. Dynamic one, the other Pletcher that we discussed the other day. This is the Rapoli Phipps Viola, $725,000 Union Rags. The maiden win going the mile in the eighth at Aqueduct. 12-1 with Jose Ortiz aboard for the first time. Prevalence, of course. 3-1 for Tyler Gaffleon. So when the decision came down to it, Prevalence second choice behind Risk Taking, and from the six, and 2-2, of course, Candyman Rocket, Junior Alvarado, Billmont for Frank Fletcher, the Candy Ride Colt, the 7, 12-1, Weyburn, your Gotham winner, stretching out around two turns for the first time, 9-2, Trevor McCarthy for the Chiefswood Pioneer, the Nile Ontario bred from the 8, and the 9 Market Maven, the late addition, the Pennsylvania bred Greg Gordon, homebred of his, Super 99 for Penny Pierce. There's your Wood field. All right. We'll get the Santa Anita Derby in a minute. Let me swing back, mention the sale results and how things turned out. It was strong on the top end, and that doesn't come as any surprise. But the hope had been, and certainly the discussions that we'd had leading into the sale yesterday, the concept was that things hopefully were going to continue to push down into a wider middle range, but it really didn't particularly come off that way. And the action early, I was watching for the first couple of hours, and the HIP 28 that ended up being the sale topper, the $2.6 million Nyquist. It was a very big sale for Nyquist and Uncle Mo that dominated the top end of the results page. And a tremendous sale for Kieran Dunn, Wavertree Stables, of course. And I reached out to Kieran this morning, and he's busy this morning. It's always the day after a sale is always a little frantic, and as good a sale as Kieran Dunn had, There were still six RNAs from his consignment, so there's likely some some negotiationing going on to clear them out. But this was a tremendous home run, $160,000 Phasic July purchase out of Spinning Wheel, and Coolmore plunks down the $2.6 million, and this was a very good looking, a really good looking colt, and the numbers just they just kept going, and it wasn't a lot of prodding, from the prompting desk, and right up to past 2 million and 2.6 on a huge score. And it was the first of really three or four for Kieran Dunn, because 2.6 million from $160,000 pinhook. Then came the second big score, really not that much long after Hip 67, the Uncle Mo colt out of a Fleet Maggie, 1.3 million, and both of these purchased by Coolmore. This was a $335,000 Keeneland yearling. So, $100,000 profit. The sale topper traded almost at 20 times his purchase price. I mean, just tremendous, a huge score. There was also for Waiver Tree, a $550,000 American Freedom filly later in the sale, and she went to Randy Hill. $550,000 from a $160,000 yearling buy at Phasic July. So there was another healthy score, $390,000 profit on the pinhook. So Kieran Dunn, there were a few stars on the pinhook front. Steve Venosa had a number of hits from a fairly narrow consignment, had four horses, and he had $540,000 worth of pinhook that fetched $2,025,000. There was the Practical Joke for $800,000 that was another Coolmore purchase. That was Philly, Hip 117. There was a Nyquist colt that Randy Hill bought, 625, that had been a $200,000 July yearling. And there was a Quality Road. In fact, the colt that I brought up with Jessica Martini out of J. Quirk. That looks like he's going to end up in Japan, Yuji Hasegawa, $600,000. So a very nice afternoon for Steve Venosa as well. And there wasn't anybody at the sale that wasn't rooting for Dave Scanlon after the just tragic circumstance on Monday. And right early on, Dave had a very nice score with the Outwork colt that went maybe third through the ring. That was Hip 10, $475,000 to Rapoli, Viola, and West Point, and that had been $130,000 yearling, I believe, and Dave had a couple of other nice trades that were nice parlays from the yearling to two-year-old sale. The total, so very pleased for Dave after just a incredibly difficult day Monday. $25,360,000. Average sale price of $378,000. The median was $300,000. It's in line with what this sale has done, but and the buyback was 33%, or I take that back, was the buyback. I lost track of the buyback. 36%, and which is not an unusual number, but when you fold in the outs, and the way things kind of dropped off the table to some degree. There were $3 million plus sellers. The 2.6, a 1.7 gun runner that Gary Young bought for Zenden, and 1.7 million for Hartley DeRenzo out of Needmore Flattery, who was a very nice Needmore Flattery was a that's a Tim Ham that was a Tim Ham Ohio bred, I think. I'm pretty sure. And you know, then things, you know, kind of 900, 825, 800, 650, 625, 600. After that, it just seemed like a little softer than I think was anticipated. We'll probably get more analysis in, if not today, then next week. All right. So there's the sale numbers. Let's it's 9:20. Let's get to let's reach for Marty Case and get him in here, and we'll start our Keeneland coverage, and I'll also, you know, fold in some other news stories as the morning goes on. Also, some results. And yesterday, I should mention, in fact, do I have that here? I think I do. Yeah. As we wait for Marty, the Sam Houston card that we went over yesterday with Chris Griffin. And before we even get to some of the races that we talked about with him, he had mentioned, you know, the early pick five. Well, the early pick five ends with the fifth race. Trey Stiles, who, you know, is a top contest player and you know, consistently successful. Yeah, he's been doing handicapping, you know, public analysis for Sam Houston. It's one of the things that they've done this year that it really, and I tweeted about it, it really deserves, you know, credit and appreciation. He made a horse in the fifth race his best bet. And it was a horse that was 20-1 on the morning line. So that's already, you know, out on a limb when you're making 20-1 shots, your best bet. The horse wins and went off at 36-1. And it's a 12-horse field, so, you know, there and there was a 6-5 favorite. Wins at 36-1 and pays 74.20. And Trey Stiles offered it up, not as part of his selections, as his best bet. Unbelievable. So well done by Trey. Amazing to me that you know, that you it's one thing to have it in the body of your picks. It's even another to have it listed and even the top pick. Another thing to indicate a 20-1 shot as a best bet. So great job. The rest of it, Sheriff Brown won that nice allowance race and won well. If you saw it, was 3-2. And you know, this, of course, Todd Fincher and Mr. Peacock, the Senior Buscador, older brother, and Rotation, who I know that that Chris liked, was a good chasing second. He kind of left himself with a little bit to do, and Chris was able to call Van Gilder all the way around successfully. you know, another thing that Chris did very well yesterday was indicate vulnerable favorites. And remember how he talked about that he thought John Doe was vulnerable? Couldn't have been more right. And ends up off the board at 5-2. So well done there. And then both of us, we couldn't make anything happen in that ninth race, which looked competitive, and we both liked alternatives. Get a Load of This took all the money and was awful. just awful. And that tomato Bill, second choice, he was off the board. There was an 8-1 shot, Pickens, from Asmussen. So it was the other Asmussen for the Highland Brats. The nice 9-2 shot that Chris tabbed, Black Rock Castle, looked like he was going to get home and got corralled by the favorite in the late stages and had to settle for second. More good information from Chris Griffin. And now we're going to get everything you could want about the Keeneland Spring Meet with Mark. He's home. He's healthy. He's brought to you by Healthnetics. I was looking forward to your season-ending visit last week, but you got stuck in that terrible storm coming back from Florida, heading home to Kentucky.
Yeah, it was so bad. It was a 2-hotel stay from Hollywood to Louisville. We made it down on Christmas Day in 15 hours, but coming back was an entirely different story. We left Wednesday after I got some work done about 4:30, drove to Lake City, which is about, 40 miles south of the Georgia border. So from there, it's usually about 11 hours home, Vic. But then Thursday was all those terrible storms, terrible traffic on 75, which was a nightmare, and got stuck in Knoxville. And it was a three-legged journey as opposed to the one swoop down, on Christmas Day.
Well, I felt bad for you, and I suppose having the season finish that way was a not predictable, but sort of a bookend of what was not a perfect winter.
Yeah, it was pretty typical. Yeah, I was only with you once, and I might have told you when I was on with you from Tampa that Pegasus Day was just miserable for me. I had a pretty You've talked about your eye surgery, and before we get into the old man stuff, it was bad for me physically. We had the COVID, and then got over that. Getting my shot today, by the way, the Johnson & Johnson out at Churchill.
Nice. But,
it's behind us, though, Vic. I hope it's the worst thing that happens to me all year, and it's onward and upward for now.
You bet, and that includes the start, really, of springtime in the bluegrass, Keeneland, a lot of excitement and anticipation. And, there's been a slow, steady trickle toward attendance at venues. And that includes Keeneland, and then looking ahead toward Derby. And let's set the stage, first of all, for the spring meet.
Well, they are allowing fans. I've had a hard time kind of extracting the real numbers out of what to expect as we go forward here. They sold out in like 8.5 minutes or something for all the big days. I believe there are some Wednesday and Thursday, either general admission or dining or whatever left at the 15-day meet. But, we're all kind of – this is all first time for all of us in terms of how you come out of – Hey, you come out of a pandemic, but there is a lot of excitement. They had a terrible season with the Kentucky Wildcats, so the locals are chomping at the bit for something fun and something exciting. So here we are.
Well, when it came to certainly when it came to the way the fields first couple of days worth, and of course it's Good Friday tomorrow and Easter on Sunday, so no racing on Sunday. That's one of the reasons I thought you and I could get, both of these first two cards discussed and, make it, I like having the opportunity to be, this far in front of a day like tomorrow. Then you look at Saturday and what we were anticipating for the Bluegrass Madison Ashland card. Pretty much got what you would have hoped. We also have the two-year-olds that kick off the season traditionally. Two-year-old races tomorrow, the first and third.
Yeah, I had the chance to talk to Wesley Ward yesterday morning. He was still in Miami for the Gulfstream. He went into quite the detail. I of course I didn't get to write it all because space considerations, but He touted me a couple of horses. I don't have them here in front of me that aren't running tomorrow, but he does like Dreamfly in the first, and he likes Magniloquent in the third, and I'm going to make the bold prediction, so will the public like them a lot. But, you know, like Wesley said, there's some other trainers. Let's see, like a guy like Jim Chatton.
John Hancock,
who have kind of molded their MOs have become very similar to Wesley's in that they're trying to get a head start on everybody. McCutcheon, he's been doing it for years. John Ennis, he's been doing it too. But, and then you had the occasional interloper like Joe Sharp or Mike Maker or Todd Pletcher or Brad Cox who will throw one in there, a race-ready two-year-old. So it's really exciting, I think, to start the spring meet with one of these baby races. It just kind of jump-starts you right away, and you carry that on through.
Well, and let's dive in a little bit to the rest of this card. It includes the Beaumont and the Transylvania. You've got the Turf Sprint as well, the Palisades. That starts the late pick four. We've got maiden three-year-olds doing two different things, fillies, some going short on the dirt, and the others going long. That's the first and last leg of the pick five. Really a nice variety of action. There's some familiar names on this card as well on the stakes side. Let's walk through the pick five a little bit and get some opinions.
Okay, if you want to start with the six, I have got a horse named Stand By You. For Rosario and Todd Beatty, a guy from Penn National doesn't send one to Keeneland unless he can run fast. So that's why I tabbed that horse. And Ron Anderson probably got an earful, I would guess, from the connection. So I'm going to go with Stand By You in there. The next race, the Palisades Turf Sprint, as noted in my in some of my writings in the Friday editions of the Forum. It lacks Golden Pal, who Wesley had intended to run. In his first start since having won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint last fall, he said he had a little setback. He's going to be off. He said he didn't have to turn him out, so it's not that bad, but said he's probably going to be away from the races another couple of months. Still, Wesley has both Fauci, number 8, and Chasing Artie, number 3, in a field of 10. It's one of the deeper stakes, actually, the whole weekend, Steve. The fields were somewhat disappointing. Most notably, I thought, the Transylvania, which usually gets 8, 10, 12. We've only got 6 in there, but nonetheless, I'm gonna give a shot to Valerie Lund, Valerie with an O-R, Lund, the denizen, veteran trainer from both the far Southwest and Minnesota, with Bodenheimer, who was terrific in winning the Indian Summer here last fall. So Bodenheimer in the 7th. 8th race, I'm going to go with Farsighted for Team Humphrey and Rusty Arnold with Julian Leperud. On to the Transylvania, going to give Phil D'Amato, who remarkably has already won 9 turf stakes this year, all of them on the Santa Anita turf. He sends Earl's Rock eastward with Florent Giroux to ride to try and prove that Fire at Will he won the race, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last year at 30-1. Earl's Rock is out to prove that was somewhat of a fluke. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Who am I to say? But anyway, let's wind up the pick five on Friday, opening day, with Queen Bourbon, the rail horse for Ian Wilkes.
Coming off of a very solid debut at Tampa and a two-turn debut as well, which kind of indicates what Ian's intentions were. This is an Empire Maker filly out of a more than ready filly. Starlight Tierra, Gainsway bred, and was a $285,000 Keeneland yearling. And that was a very solid debut. I have not done the pedigree work on this. Vicky Oliver has got Be Like Water in here, the Majestic Perfection, 4-1. And bringing up Vicky's name, actually, I had a funny, I think yesterday I made reference to Vicky Oliver and the magic of Keeneland for certain outfits, Marty. And, certainly the situation that that Vicky finds herself in going into the weekend with Hidden Stash, and a very, to me, one of the under the radar 3 year olds right now, moving toward Derby, and she's had a modest winter thus far, but she's liable, you know, to go off at Keeneland. I mean, we've seen it forever.
She and Rusty, you know, they kind of lay low at Payson and Palmettos, and you know, just kind of point for this meet. And where I happen to sit, where I watch a lot of the races in the grandstand there at Keeneland, whenever they win a race, they have to walk past me. So, you know, I've given Rusty a fist bump and Phil Oliver a time or two over the years. But, yeah, you know, Jay Priven and I, as you well know, compose the Derby Watch Top 20. And I have advocated for including Hidden Stash in our Top 20 over the last, you know, ever since the Tampa Bay Derby, when it looked like Hidden Stash was a dead winner at the eighth pole, but somehow Helium fought back and beat him. But anyway, I really think, and maybe we'll get to this in a minute, but I think it's essential quality over Hidden Stash, ice cold, and I think the exact will pay about, what, $17, something like that.
Well, we'll talk about it in a second. I agree that, you know, when you look at the other, you know, the other players in there, that Hidden Stash is the, you know, is the right, you know, alternate or, you know, horse to key around underneath behind Essential Quality, who looks every bit of his 3-5 morning line. Well, the Friday card gets things going at Keeneland. That leads us into Saturday, and let's work backwards in this situation, as opposed to going through the pick five like we just did for Friday with Marty, and let flesh out a little bit more about the bluegrass and this. You know, this ended up with a bit of an eclectic field, given, you know, the decision on Keep Me in Mind, the situation around Hush of a Storm, you know, ending up coming out of the. Jeff Ruby on Saturday, and Ron Bauer invading as well from the West Coast, from Michael McCarthy and the Fradkins, and then Chad Brown, who, you know, had this intended for Klarovich's Highly Motivated, and even the inclusion of Untreated, you know, taking a shot at a gold ring as well, and Team Valor, the Pampa purchase from the dispersal, the Nyquist colt. Flesh out some other storylines, Marty.
Well, I mean, your friend and mine, Nicholas J. Tamaro, noted almost as soon as the entries came out for the Bluegrass, there is no speed in this race. I mean,
no.
There's really no. And that was the one thing I had put on Twitter on Monday, Steve, when I'd happened to run into Rudy Brissett when I was up there and asked him, how's the big horse? He says, oh, he's going to run Saturday back in the Bluegrass. I'm like, is that right? So, yeah, and he confirmed it. Even gave me Drayden Van Dyke was lined up to ride him. But then on Tuesday morning, you know, when he was not entered, Rudy said, I didn't like the way he moved this morning. He said something about something in his hind end and, that, you know, no reason to go on and push the envelope here. So he obviously, Tarantino, assuming he would have broken a lot better than he did when in the Jeff Ruby, when Florent Giroux, I understand, was saying no, and they went ahead and broke anyway, and there he was. So, you know, who is the speed in here? I guess Highly Motivated out of the shorter races, or Untreated, you know, or Hidden Stash, or Essential Quality. Everybody else is a dead closer. So it's, you know, I think that's really one of the interesting aspects. I would assume that Luis Saez is heads up, as he always is. We'll have Essential Quality forwardly placed, and if he's in a good spot, let's say second or third down the backside, Steve, he ought to win from there. So, and I just think that Bear Rhino will work out a trip for Hidden Stash along the inside, even though he has tended to come from behind. But you know, he's got a pretty nice turn of foot, though. So it's 4-1 for me all day in the Bluegrass.
Well, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to have all that much more to add. I you know, Highly Motivated, I expect to, you know, to run well. you know, keep me in mind. I don't know what to expect. It seems to me that nothing has gone right. Can you address Dale's handling of sitting on go?
He's being hopeful. You know, he's being perhaps overly optimistic. You know, Dale wants to do everything he can. He keeps referring back to the Iroquois, but, you know, that was, you know, a long, long way back. And, you know, Dale threw some stuff up against the wall this all winter. None of it stuck. So I think he's been to the Derby, what, 10 or 12 times, and that's what he gets up. That's what he does. Tries to win the Derby, and can't win if you're not in it, I guess.
Well, you know, I think we'll just have to wait for him to turn back, which just seems to be what, you know, what is going to be the best tonic for him. I mentioned yesterday, Ron Bauer back on the dirt, you know, since the first time since the juvenile, and you know, his two dirt races are solid. He does have to take a step forward in here, you know, and shoulder his way into, you know, certainly from a buyer standpoint, into the 90s to impact this. And, you know, I certainly I have such respect for Michael McCarthy and his ability. And, you know, when he has pointed for spots.
Yeah, he's on him.
Yeah,
ditto
he's on been ready.
On our buddy, yeah.
Let's step back to the to the penultimate race on the card, and the Grade One Madison rarely disappoints. We didn't get a big field, but we got a very competitive field.
Well, I like how Brad Cox has regrouped Mundiae Call, and when she won the Autumn Oaks last summer, and I was there, it was really one of those surreal deals because they let a few of us in, and there I was, and they, you know, the press box wasn't open at Ellis Park, but it was we were just sitting out there where in the grandstand, and she looked like, to me, she really reminded me of Covfefe in that she was just awesome and just striding out beautifully. And then of course her two races after that, and both the Eight Bells and the Miss Preakness were no good. But if you really look up and down this lineup of seven fillies and mares, she's quite possibly the only speed in here. I mean, Kamari's got a turn of foot that, you know, and out of some shorter races, you know, going these 7/8. But I think the Mundiae Call has a real good chance to go gate to wire.
Interesting. Well, from an alternate speed, I guess Estío Talentoso has got some speed and has used it in some spots, you know, Kamari, of course, for Wesley. But if either or both, Sandinus a little bit inside, he's got route speed though, and it's just not the same. So yeah, you bring up a great point, as we say, and that would really make things difficult for the confirmed quality closers, including Belle's the One, making her 5-year-old debut in here.
Yeah, I think she is going to need one written all over her. You know, this is the kind of race where she'll get one under her, and then she'll go forward to Derby Day and the Humana Distaff, or whatever they call it now, the Crown City, what do they call it?
The Derby
one.
City.
Yeah.
Derby City Gaming.
Yeah. I like her a lot more in that spot.
Fair enough. And, you know, Sconson, Greg Foley, should mention as well, making her 4-year-old debut, the popular winner of the Eight Bells, if you listen to this show. And nice, you know, that Fair Maiden, we should mention, the La Brea winner is in this field, and Owen Hardy comes to town with her.
Yeah, I mean, at least she's been running as opposed to Sconson.
Yes,
and Bell's the One, you know, but I don't know if she's good enough. That might have been a an outlier, that victory there in the La Brea.
The grade one Ashland starts the late pick three, and with each passing week, Marty, the Oaks picture, and I'm saying, I'm using not just necessarily Kentucky Oaks, I'm just saying the Oaks scenario nationwide seems really murky, and it, like these two-year-old fillies that showed a lot of promise, and nobody's been all that special. Travel Column and Clairiere have been, you know, really the only, you know, splashy performers. It feels like we're kind of waiting for some of these to, you know, take a logical next step.
Yeah, you're going to have the Gazelle on Saturday at Aqueduct, and you're going to have the Fantasy on Saturday at Oaklawn, and then this Ashland, and the two principals in here, Simply Ravishing and Malathot, both make their first start of the year. Now, Malathot was supposed to run last weekend in the Gulfstream Oaks, but because of the 10-day moratorium on the death of Sheikh Hamdan, Shadwell withdrew her from the entries. So now here she is. When I talked to Todd about her a few weeks ago, he was really happy with the way she was coming around. And the same with Kenny McPeak, who I talked to this morning about Simply Ravishing. They're both going to be fresh. They're both going to be sharp. So it's really interesting in the Ashland to see who might make the early lead. There's no really confirmed stretch front-end type. You have Will Secret, who's obviously in good form from down at Oakland. I talked to John Court a couple days ago about her. Because, like I brought up to you in a couple of texts with you, we can't find, and I'm pretty sure there has not been, a jockey in his 60s to win a grade one race in North America ever. And John couldn't come up with one. And John turned, on November 23rd, he turned 60 years old. So he will seek to become the first ever, we believe, jockey to win a grade one at age 60 or beyond. As far as who's going to make the lead, will it be John or will it be Malathot or will it be Simply Ravishing? You know, it's like Kenny McPeak said, let's see how they break and take it from there. And he's got Luis Saez and Malathot has Rosario. So this should shape up real interesting. And whoever wins, Steve, I think will be one of the favorites for the Oaks. As you mentioned, VQuist. Day out of the office, I texted back and forth with Tim Hamm a couple days ago. She was not entered in either the Fantasy or the Ashland after making her last start in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, running second to VQuist. None of them, and Girl Daddy for Dale, she hasn't even worked. She got sick down in Florida this winter. So it's really been kind of a muddler, this whole three-year-old filly picture, except for the Fairgrounds Fillies, Travel Column and Clairiere, as you mentioned. So hopefully we'll get some definition to the Oaks picture come Saturday night.
Very much so. And the filly that I do want to include in the conversation, because I brought her up with Brendan Walsh, was Moonswag. And he likes the way she's move forward since the Rachel Alexandra, and I think she's very interesting in there a little bit.
Her buyer's a little bit light.
Yeah,
she's got a 74, but you know, it, on her behalf, she has been running against the fillies who we mentioned as probably the top two, Clairiere and Travel Column.
Exactly. Gets us to the Shakertown and the start of the late pick four Saturday at Keeneland. Marty McGee with us and the 5.5 furlong turf sprint featuring Imprimis for Joe Orsino. And this kind of brought together some of the usual suspects and and a few new faces. Certainly a big opportunity for Michelle Lovell in here with Just Might.
Yeah, you know, a couple of the missing horses in here are Leinster and Totally Boss, who I called Rusty yesterday morning. You know, what have they been doing? Leinster was actually supposed to go to Dubai, but he didn't like how the horse came out of this race at Gulfstream. Totally Boss, a little bit behind schedule. He'll get him back later this month, but yeah, we do have some of the usual suspects, namely with the Bound for Nowhere on the, out there in the open air outside box where the air is fresh and clear, off the layoff for Wesley Ward with those huge buyer numbers that he's got. So he's got to be a consideration. I'm going to go a little bit outside the box here, Steve, with Kantaka, number 7 for off the layoff for Graham Motion. He's going to be probably closer than normal for West Point and Graham. You know, they got him 6-1 on the line, maybe a little bit higher than that because there's so many other inviting options in here. But you always got to respect Joey O with Imprimis and heck of a race as usual. It's probably, of all 9 stakes over the first 2 days, this is the deepest.
Let me see my morning line. And, well, I'll tell you what, at 12-1, I like the looks of Just Might in here for Michelle Lovell.
All right.
That's an attractive number. And you can tell that after the Colonel Power, this was must have been the first thing on her mind. We talked after the Colonel Power. But there's a lot to like in here.
I mean, there's a lot of heat. You know, you got High Crime and Johnny Unleashed just to his outside, and then Bound for Nowhere, you know, off the layoff. He's got to be real sharp. The Critical Way, that was a tough race at Tampa. He actually beat Imprimis in that. Mm. Yep. And, you know, he's going to take a lot of heat to his outside. So if he's going to win it, Colby Hernandez, with his new agent, by the way, Corey Pruitt, he's going to have to ride a crafty race.
The Shakertown. The Commonwealth starts the pick 5. And here's the 7/8 that ended up, I tell you, this ended up, considering that, I don't know if you followed the discussion on Twitter, but Hidden Scrolls' presence in here set off, and Andy Serling, who promotes the Carter aggressively year-round, Andy brought up a very good point that there was even the possibility that this was, you know, a tougher spot for Hidden Scroll than the Carter might have been, where Mischievous Alex is way the horse to beat. This is, you know, a group of 7, and it's a bit of a scramble.
Yeah, I didn't know what to make here. I ended up on a 12-1 shot in here, special reserve for Maker. I figured,
look at you,
you know, pretty prominent from the start. I mean, does Hidden Scroll have to be anywhere? I mean, he had so many of those bad races, and he beat absolutely nothing in his comeback at Oaklawn. So I would be, you know, I would be fading Hidden Scroll in this spot. And I know that Hog Creek Hustle, there's a backstory there. He was actually down at Palmetto's for a couple of months with Danny Gargan. They were looking to run him over in Dubai, but finally decided not to. And now he's back with Vicky Foley, and he actually had a work at Churchill here the other day. So, you know, he's in the open air outside box, so he got a trip out pretty nice. They got 8-5 on Flagstaff. I don't really know why. I mean, he hasn't won since, you know, in more than a year. He does come out of a couple of those tough little 3-quarter stakes at Oaklawn. So I guess with Rosario, he will come favored. But otherwise, there's a lot of interesting horses in here. Mucho, who my brother had for a cup of coffee, he claimed him for $62,000 and lost him right back for $80,000. Had a good allowance win for John Ortiz down at Oaklawn. So a lot of and then of course Attachment Rate ran big. He was my Derby horse last year with Talamo. So you know, all kinds of interesting options here in the Commonwealth.
Attachment rate maybe at 5-1. Attachment rate appeals to me just off the conversation, and you're not wrong about special reserves qualities at that price. Yeah, I thought this was this came up as a bit of an oddity. I suppose we should mention as well the Appalachian, that the grade 2 going the mile for the 3-year-old fillies.
Yeah, Spanish love affair, who was absolutely jobbed by the stewards down there. It was just an absurd disqualification to the extent that Mark Cassie actually went through the motions of filing an appeal with the stewards who, you know, shockingly upheld their own decision, you know, with Jeff Nelly as the consultant or whatever, you know, that whole thing. But anyway, she was miles the best in the Here Comes the Bride on the Fountain Youth undercard. I like her right back. I mean, I know that she's not the favorite near, or she actually is a slight favorite, but Plum Ali, she makes her first start at three. She's kind of the one you got to figure out. I really didn't like her Breeders' Cup effort that much, but it is Clement. And so you got to beat Jouster on the lead, who Jouster miraculously lost that race on the Tampa Bay undercard. You know, I swear, Steve, I was in the press box at Tampa watching that race, and I stopped watching, and then they put up Chad Brown's number, and I said, "What?" So I went. I had to watch the replay to see her get beat. So anyway, she'll be on the lead, but I really like Chris Landeros, who, by the way, had a really productive winter at Turfway, gets them out on Spanish Love Affair for Cassie, and hopefully they get some redemption here.
I want to draw attention as well on this card to the opener, which is a maiden special for three-year-olds, and there are some late starting and potentially nice runners in here that have got upside. Ghazali for Pletcher from the rail for Shadwell. This was at the $1,050,000 Curlin purchase as a Keeneland yearling, and ran a nice second in his second start behind Quantum Leap, who then tried the Florida Derby last week. Also, Ghazali ran into no less than Prevalence in January in his debut. So Ghazali is cut out to be okay. Shug has got Andrew Rosenhomebred Biggie off of a mile and an eighth fitness debut. American Law for the Reeves and Randy Hill with Gargan, a Constitution. And then on the outside, Chad's got that Benny from the Bronx that was second behind Collaborate in that notable Fountain of Youth undercard maiden race. And they're still has got plenty of upside for Peter Brandt's Stone Street Bred Tappet Colt. So this is a notable way to start the day at 105.
Yeah, Benny from the Bronx, a half, by the way, to Charlatan. And you said that the one horse ran into Prevalence. Ghazali ran into Prevalence. Well, Benny from the Rocks ran into Collaborate on the Fountain of Youth undercard. So ran a pretty creditable race at that. So I went ahead with Todd. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of speed in here. By the way, when's the last time you saw a maiden special at Keeneland go with five? I think it's indicators how thin the horse population is, you know, at this particular stage in Kentucky. It should get better. But I'm going to go with a 1-5 here in the opener.
I've got kind of an esoteric question, and that is, what's your over-under for Joel Rosario victories on Saturday? He's got a mount in all 11 races.
I'd have to look through it, but I'm sure there's some Sharpies who probably have a 2.5 or 3.5 because, you know, you don't want to push, so you got to go with a half.
Exactly. He's got, and I'll run him down real quick, American Law in the first for Gargan at 2-1. He's got Chasing Artie, who, of course, I'm curious because, you know, Chasing Artie scratched last week out of what was that, the Rushaway or the one of the what did he scratch out of last week? Did he scratch out of the?
Yeah, I'm not sure, Vic.
He scratched out of one of the 3-year-old stakes. 2-1 in the second. He rides for Maker in the third and the fourth. In the third, he's on the Andy Serling namesake of the Wyckoffs, Mr. Annoying, which is one of the great fun things ever. And, you know, Andy's very friendly with the Wyckoffs. And So Mr. Annoying, a highlight on Saturday. Then Enjoy It While We Can. Mr. Annoying's 4-1. Enjoy It While We Can is 4-1 for Maker and Rosario. Then he rides for Chad on Founder in that 7-furlong allowance fifth. He's on Clement with Plum Ali in the Appalachian. He's on Flagstaff at 8-5 for Sadler. Then Bound for Nowhere in the Shakertown for Ward. Then Malathat in the Ashland for Todd. Back with Wesley on Kamari at 5-2 in the Madison, and rounds it out with Untreated in the feature in the Bluegrass for Todd Pletcher. Joel Rosario's 11 mounts on Saturday.
Yeah. Ron Anderson has had that phone. You know, I went out on a boat with him and Nancy a couple times last fall, and that phone does not leave his ear, it seems like, or his hand when he's texting people. But, yeah, great job lining up these mounts. I guess if you want me to make a line, I guess it would be 3.5 or 4.5. I'm not going to make it 4, Vic, because I don't want to push.
I love it. And, you know, you mentioned you talked to Wesley, and I tried to get him on this week. We couldn't connect. Any Like the King insight and you know, postscript to the win in the Ruby?
He's ecstatic, and he says he's going to work him twice at Keeneland between the Ruby and the Derby. And when I initially asked him about it, he said, we're going to go over there to Churchill from Keeneland when they make us. But then he kind of let up on that a little bit. he let up on that a little bit and said, we'll go probably shortly after he has his last work. So, yeah, realistically, though, you look at that horse's dirt form, he's got to be 60-1 in the Derby.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Well, Marty McGee back in fine fettle, as they like to say in press releases. And he's brought to you by Healthnetics. And we haven't had a chance. I expected all winter to be explaining to everybody about Healthnetics, which, of course, is a premium CBD. And our friend Jack Murray, and an owner himself, and you turned me on to it, and I was dubious, but it's been terrific for my hands particularly, which and I don't know what else, you know, after with the COVID vaccines, maybe it's helped alleviate some of that stuff as well.
Yeah, we're circling back to the old man stuff, the old man infirmity. I mean, I started taking that Healthnetics, the CBD oil, about a year ago because I've got arthritis really bad in my knees and some other spots. But, yeah, Jack Murray and Ned Williams and Mike Matisse, they're all really good friends of mine from Maryland, and they're pushing this stuff. And I think folks ought to look into it if they're having the same kind of old man problems that you and I have.
Not just old man. Anybody of any ilk, and you know, I had not known anything about, and I thought the whole thing, you know, the CBD thing was a little bit of a hype. And he sent us the drops, and he sent us the ointment. Tina's been pushing the drops now on me every morning before she goes to school. She hits me with 3 under the tongue, but the ointment. I you know, when my hand is bad, and I've got, you know, I've explained, I've got psoriatic, you know, condition my whole life, and it's now doing what it does, which is become arthritic. So it's been a big help. Healthnetics.com. HEALTN. Thanks, buddy. Marty McGee, everybody. And you're ready for Keeneland, all right? And maybe if you need it for your golf swing, Healthnetics will get you ready for that, too. Let's take the top of the hour break, and I got Dick Powell to swing through as well, speaking of golf swings, and Steve Haskin. We got a lot to cover with Steve. We'll get his quick reaction to Known Agenda and Like the King, as well as probably Panadol. I think we got to start asking about Panadol. And what else? Rich Eng. We got Rich Eng later. And I'm sure there'll be more. Tony. We got to slip Tony in someplace. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9888-9888-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents